Good morning, church.
Good morning, Brother Johnson.
Blessed, blessed morning again to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Just thank everyone for being here this morning. Thank everyone who's joining us on live stream, social media. Just the way in announcements, as always, come get a church bulletin and check out the back for any announcements and ongoing activities. Just a few quick ones that I'll point out here. The church directory portraits have arrived. If anyone's interested in wanting to view them or order any additional pictures for yourself or your household, see Sister Melissa. Ladies, mark your calendar for September 14th. That'll be the women's conference this year. More details will be coming for that. And right now we have the ongoing backyard missions. That's on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We go out to the village here, to the apartments, and reach out to our children here. It's a good outreach here through the summer months. Be going from now all the way through August the 9th. So come out to that. And then one final thing. We'll be doing a fifth Sunday night talent singing event for praise and worship to the Lord. So that'll be every month that has that fifth Sunday to it. So it'll be roughly once a quarter. So July 30th, October 29th, December 31st. If you have a talent, whether it be singing, playing an instrument, even a non-musical talent, come forward, talk to Brother Ken or Pastor Brian. Come forward. We want to worship with you. We don't simply want to worship to you. We want to worship with one another.
I'm trying to get Miss Mia, Brother Jared and Sister Ashley's daughter. I'm trying to get her to do some backflips too. So if you can do a backflip for the Lord,
amen.
You can do a backflip for Jesus.
Excellent. Yes. But Psalm 99, we'll read verses 5 and verse 9. It just says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." And verse 9 reads, "Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so, so much, Lord, just for another privilege, Lord, again, just to be here and to worship you, Father God. Lord, just may all things we do just be for you and for your glory. And just ask the presence of your Holy Spirit be here amongst us and bless our worship event. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
In the book of Psalms, it tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And to put that in the 2023 Thomas Village Baptist Church, Duffield, Virginia, vernacular, if you came through those first entrance doors, there should have been a heart of thanksgiving for what God has done for you this week or your life. And as we enter into the sanctuary here, may his praise be on our lips. And it's with that I ask you all to stand as we sing "Jesus, Lover of My Soul." He loved our soul enough that he was not willing to let it die in eternity separated from him.
Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock, now I know I love you. Friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Taking me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Take me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock, now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
If you want to take a hymnal, you can and turn to page 425, and we will continue to sing praises as we sing He Keeps Me Singing.
Is within my heart a melody? Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Oh, my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken streams, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting beneath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials all across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. Good job. Y'all can have a seat if you want. And thank you. Let's give our Heavenly Father praise for bringing Miss Nancy back to us. Glad to have her back. And thankful for Ernestine that filled in. God always provides when we're needing somebody. He always sends someone our way that can play. As we sing this song, we've sung it a couple times, so you know it. If you want to join in, by all means, please do. Just sing along. But we want to continue to give praise as we tell you about my Jesus.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all that stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen.
Who can wipe away the tears, the broken dreams and wasted years, until the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus.
Wrong turns that you would
go
undo if you could. Work it all for your good.
Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
Who would take my cross to Calvary? Pay the price. All my guilty, who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 let my Jesus change your life.
Stay right here. Stop right here. Brother Rick, can you get us back to where it says, where it says, he makes a way where there ain't no way, he rises up from the grave? All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand right where you're at. And if you believe that, I want you to sing that chorus with me two times, okay? So stand with me.
We can do it a cappella.
We can do it all. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was going to count on you.
That's okay.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
Like every day there's more and more that we question. But there's one thing that doesn't change. That Jesus loves me. He died on the cross for me. And if I let him today, he'll do even greater things for me. But not only that, he says that he is the great physician. And this morning we've been reminded of Sister Ernestine, and she's going to be having open heart surgery. I think it's Tuesday. And then also we have Miss Moni. Is still, as far as I know, she's still in the hospital there. And there's just a lot of sickness going on. So I'm going to ask Brother Otis if he would to lead us in prayer this morning, specifically for Sister Ernestine and her surgery. But if there's others, other needs, we'll give you this time to call it out and to bring it to the altar. Yeah, Brother Wayne. I didn't talk to him yesterday, but there's still weakness in the kidneys. That's not allowing them to do everything they need to do for the heart, if I'm speaking correctly. Anyone else? Was her name Sister? Phyllis Bowen Williams. Yes, and we want to say that our heart goes out to the Ashton's family. Also, if you look online, there is a place for you to give to help assist the family. So I pray that if the Lord leads you that way, that you'd be willing to do it. I was told this morning, though, that there was once that I was able to preach the gospel to him. I didn't know he was in the congregation, but thank God for that. Anyone else? All right, Brother Otis, men, if y'all want to come and gather around Sister Ernestine, and ladies, thank you also.
Thank you. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 5, we want to tell men that's worked over at Sister Ernestine's the past couple of weeks, thank you for the efforts you've made there, and also to be praying for those that are traveling. We have a lot on the road right now. Am I on my microphone? All righty, making sure. But as you're turning, do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning? Praise the Lord. It's good to have her. Good to have her. And what's her name again?
Diane.
Miss Diane, it's good to have you here today.
Thank you,
brother. Yes, sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 And he can. He can use what the world would say is tragedy and use it for our good and his glory. Yep. Amen. We've been blessed over the past few years that it's not hit us as it could have, you know. But it is difficult. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? My goodness. Don't go in it and find out, and we won't go in that one, right? Thank you, Brother Ken. Anyone else? Florida's kind of like our Australia, ain't it? Everything down there going to kill you. I mean, that's basically it. Anyone else this morning? I do want to just thank God that, man, I could be a whole lot further than I am here than away from the Lord, you know? It's just by His grace and mercy that I am where I am, that I am who I am. And as I think of others this morning that are waking up in hospitals, jails, without a home, but by the grace of God. But by the grace of God that today He has me and He keeps me. All right, the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And if you're watching by Facebook or listening by radio, again, we want to tell you it's good to be with you. But if you can, we ask you to stand with us this morning. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 38. And we're going to focus on verses 38 through 40. But we're going to read through 48 because we're kindly starting a series, I believe, this morning. Well, which is it, their tooth or my cheek? Matthew 5:38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not, but whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. And if a man shall sue thee before the law and take away thy coat, let them have your cloak as well. And whosoever will compel you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to them that ask of you, and to them which borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than anyone else? Do not even the publicans, remember the tax collectors, do the same thing? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You may be seated, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, and I thank you, God, that you're in control. Nothing that's going on this planet or in this universe this week has been hidden from you or not done with your authority or your access to let it be done. We think about those that have lost lives this week, whether it be locally or as we think of the submarine thing and all that's going on over between wars and Lord, just political issues and revolts and all that's going on. Lord, it just seems like our world's in chaos. And God, we know that you're not the author of chaos. And God, I thank you today that none of this, Heavenly Father, Lord, this has to happen so it could come to pass, that our Christ could come and redeem us. So God, right now I pray that you take your word and through the power of your word and the Holy Spirit, that you give us wisdom and understanding. And it's in Jesus' name I pray blessings on all of those that are traveling, all of our people that are elsewhere today, that you be with them. But God, right now, Holy Spirit, do something through your word that our lives will be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, does anybody know what this passage, well, I guess it would be Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, all the way to the last verse of Matthew chapter 7. Do you know what that is? The Sermon on the Mount. Probably the most well-known of all the things we have that Christ has spoken. Matter of fact, we have basically a full, almost outline of it here in Matthew, but it's also mentioned over in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. It says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic or your outer cloak from them. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand that they bring it back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so unto them." That's the golden rule. But let me ask you this. When is the last time you've heard a message or a teaching on turn the other cheek? I'm sad to say that this will be the first sermon I have ever preached about turning the other cheek. Now, I've preached it from the Sermon on the Mount many times, but I got to ask myself this week, why don't we hear much preaching on the Sermon of the Mount? The turning of the other cheek. And then something clicked in my mind, why don't we hear much preaching about gluttony either? Have you ever noticed that there's some topics that, man, we as preachers, we'll hammer on them things. Most of them I know is going to get me an amen, you know what I mean, and won't get me run off. Those, you know, we don't mess with that too much. But, think about it. It's pitiful that I've been at this thing going on, I don't know, at least 20 years, 19 years, and I've never preached a sermon specifically focused on the idea of turning the other cheek. Now, when's the last time you've heard one about the eye for an eye? Probably sooner than you have the other one. Now, this passage right here, as we look at it, like I said, it is very well known. It's very well taught. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And in this, we see something that Christ is not telling people how to be saved, because he tells them, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light." But what we see here in the Sermon on the Mount is basically he's taking the law of God, he's taking the precepts that's going on there, you know, like murder, adultery, fear, tithing, divorce. I mean, there's a lot of different topics that he deals with in this one sermon. And remember, it begins with what? "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." What do we call that? You remember? The Beatitudes. I love the way that J. Vernon McGee teaches it, because he says they're called the Beatitudes, not because they tell us how to be saved, but it's what we should be as children of God. And then moves on from the Beatitudes, and then he moves into the salt and to the light. And there, what do we see? That the purpose of God's people here on earth, as salt, we are to preserve. We're to keep it from going bad. Folks, I look at our country and our nation, and man, if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it anymore? And then he says that not only are we to be the salt, but we're to be the what? The light. The light, darkness is just the absence of light. And we're to show the world that there is an alternative to just going through this thing, status quo, and dying and going to hell. Then, like I said, it moves on into murder, adultery, judgmental attitudes, giving, prayer, fasting, fear, the golden rule. I mean, if you treat others the way you wanted to be treated. Basically, what Christ is doing is revealing the nature of his kingdom. For such is the kingdom of heaven, right? And if there's a nature or there's characteristics about a heavenly kingdom, then that means those that are going to dwell in that kingdom, they're going to have to have the same characteristics. Amen? And so it's not about salvation, but I want you to notice something else that I saw this week. One supreme purpose of the Sermon on the Mount is one I think we clear miss it by miles. This is what he says. The law of God is being manipulated by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin. It's being the truth. Remember, who is Jesus? He's the Word, right? The Word of God is being twisted, used, abused, and excused so that the governing class could have their own way, could have their riches. They could keep the people in check. Sound familiar? Now, no longer do they use the Word of God. They've tried to use law now. But Jesus, look at it. What has He done? He comes in there, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself, but you remember one of the famous sayings, "Ye have heard it said." He didn't say, "They're teaching you the wrong things." No, He didn't say that. He said, "But I say unto you." He wanted to make sure that you're getting the true precept behind it. Look at this. You have God Himself, the Word, who has left His throne in glory to enter into His creation so that the Word is teaching the people about the Word so that they won't miss out on what the Word can do and will do in their lives. Isn't this beautiful? It's a beautiful picture. And it's just, it gets me kind of tore up a little bit on the inside. But I heard a preacher this week that said, in today's church, there is hatred being taught in Jesus' name. The Baptists can't get along with the Methodists. The Methodists can't get along with the Church of God. The Church of God don't get along with the Episcopalian. Why? Why? Because of doctrinal issues. Little things in the big scheme where we've got so much in common in Jesus alone. You know? What really did the Lord say about certain things? Huh? How many of you have ever heard this one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. You ever heard that one? Some people will swear to you that that's in the Bible, won't they? How about this one? Money is the root of all evil. Thus saith the Lord. No, it says what? The love of money is the root of all evil. How about this one? God will not put more on you than you can bear. That's a lie from the pits of hell right there. It is. He'll put more on you can bear so that He can pick you up and bear it for you. Let's think of some more. How about when you die, you become an angel and you float around on a cloud and you just play the harp for the rest of eternity? You may not hear people saying that, but isn't that what many people believe? You see what I'm saying is God has really convicted me about thus saith the Lord. Folks, we better be careful on what thus saith the Lord. Now, there are certain things that He did say. The Ten Commandments, buddy, lay on it. God's sin will always be sin, and we need to declare it. But there's other things. There's good men, good women, good preachers that'll get up and they'll come off with the thus saith the Lord, and then they're going to talk about tattoos. Or then they're going to talk about something else, or this and that. Yeah, it may be in a place in the Bible, but that's not the theme of the Bible. Hey, I'm going to make a t-shirt that says this. One simple message. One single truth. One salvation in His name. Praise God, that's the focus of it all. That's what everything should be built upon, is Jesus and what He can do in your life. Now, Jesus is moving here, and as He's beginning to teach, He says, you know, I'm going to teach you this, but when He's focusing, He's going to talk about murder and all those things, the law, what a moral society is set upon. But He's going to focus more not on the action, but the attitude that's behind it. And again, if you look there in verse 21, this is where the phrase, "Ye have heard that it has been said." You have heard that it has been said. In our language today, it would be something like, "You have heard that the ancients were told." You have heard that the ancients were told. Now, who would be the ancients? I think that he's talking about, number one, Moses. Or, well, Abraham first, but then Moses. Moses is the one that received the law of God, the commands of God. How about Joshua? He walked right there alongside of him. Then there's King David, a man after God's own heart. And then we have Daniel, the prophets, all the rabbis in and there, that they have been taught by God. A message has been given from our Creator to us. Notice, never does Jesus say again, that's not what the ancients were told. That's not what they were taught. No, He just simply, Jesus is not casting doubt on the truth, but He's throwing suspicion on those that are twisting the truth and using the truth for personal means, for private gain, instead of for the purpose of the God who created them. So He goes from that, you've heard it's been said, or the ancients were told, but I say unto you, Jesus, now think about this, back then as it is today, if you could name drop, it was pretty good. You know, if Kirby Smart, Georgia football coach, well, he could say that, well, you know, I learned under Nick Saban. And Nick Saban said this. And it's true in any other job. What does it say? Paul studied under who? Gamaliel. It was kind of clout. And he would quote Gamaliel or other rabbis. If you notice that Jesus does not quote the Bible here, does He? But what does He do? He says, I say unto you. Now remember, a lot of people say that Jesus never declared Himself to be God. Can I tell you right there in that word, He put Himself directly on the throne of all creation right then. Think about it. All of the authority of heaven, He put it on His back in that moment. He said, I'm not referencing any scholar. I'm not going back to any Old Testament book. But I say unto you, I am that God. Notice, that I is emphatic. He's saying, I, myself, and none other is the authority that I'm speaking in. And remember, we were told in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and following, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at His teachings, for He was teaching them as one which had authority, not as other scribes. Oh yes, Jesus is saying, remember when He said, before Abraham was, I am. He's declaring to these people right now that it's on me. I don't need any other authority. I don't need a rabbi. I don't need the book. I am the Word. Hallelujah. It's so special, so beautiful. And but think about this. Think how awesome that is. That would be like me going to Philadelphia where the Declaration of Independence was. And I said, well, I know Thomas Jefferson wrote it. He had help from Ben Franklin and John Adams, and they really knew what they meant, but don't listen to them anymore, because I'm going to tell you what the Declaration actually means, the purpose, the power, and the wisdom that's behind it, because I know everything about it. Now, how crazy would you think I was if you were part of the tour that I stood up and said that in? But that's what Jesus is doing. And so here Jesus begins to dig in the law. Listen what He says. I'm not going to read it all, but He says, He goes into murder. And remember, He talks about how it's, well, let's read what He says real quick. He says that murder, hold on, verse 21 there, I think it is. You have heard that it was said in the old times, thou shalt not kill. And the actual word there is murder, to take a life. And whosoever will kill is in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And He also goes on and He talks about how that if you are at odds with your brother or sister, that you need to deal with it. Don't put it off. So what does thus saith the Lord right here? Thus says the Lord, that being angry with a brother or sister without cause is a sin. Amen? But also murder in the same boat. And if we cannot hold on to our anger, we don't have the privilege of saying, well, they offended me, and I'm going to hold on to it. You know why? Because thus saith the Lord. He says, make it right. Amen? And then, notice, He moves on into divorce. Not going to dig into it, but basically He says, yes, there's been a writ. God has allowed divorce, but that's a rare occasion. And that most of them are done after self-service. And until, when it happens, and until you make it right with God, then you're living in sin. That's not what Brian says. That's not what I want to preach. But that's what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord. Then what about oath making? How many of us ain't never said, well, I swear to, or whatever. We've all done it. Oath making is commitments made upon a greater authority. Someone with more power. We don't have the power, so we swear by all that's in the universe, you know. Well, God says that's a sin. Thus saith the Lord. Don't do it. You're messing with my name. And my name's not to be mingled with anything sinful except for making it pure and saving it. Well, what about if I swear on the earth? Well, that's my stuff. Don't swear on my stuff. Don't get my stuff involved in it. Jesus goes on to say, just don't swear at all. Let your yes be yes, and let your no's be no's. Just be a person of your word. Thus saith the Lord. Amen? So that's what I want to do, because I want to make sure that we're not throwing in our own hatred, our own dislikes, our own motives, you know, that we're not to mingle that with the Bible. You know, we're not to let that mix. You have heard that it's said. What's being said in a pulpit across America today? Is it God's word or is it personal opinion? Look again in verses 38 through 40. You have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that ye resist not, or that you resist. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him or her the other cheek. And if a man shall sue thee before the law and take away thy coat, let them have your cloak as well. You remember this morning I asked you which one have you heard most recently? Have you heard the eye for an eye, or have you heard turn the other cheek? Well, some more questions real quick. Which one sounds cooler? Which one, turn the other cheek or their eye for the eye that they stole from you? Which one accurately expresses our desire? Turn the other cheek, or I want their eye. I want their tooth. I want them to suffer loss the way that made me suffer loss. Which one? Oh, we know what it is. We know that it's the tooth for tooth. Matter of fact, God agrees with you. Did you know that? God agrees with you that when something is lost, that restitution ought to be made. Go over to the book of Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22. But if there is harm, then you shall pay for life with life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Matter of fact, in the law, in the book of Exodus, between about chapters 20 through about 24, and even in the Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it talks about restitution for loss. If I borrowed your tractor, which would have been a cow or an ox back then, and it died, guess what I'm expected to do? Restitution. The loss that you've suffered, it is my responsibility to give that loss back. Amen? The same is true for if I set my field on fire, it jumps over to your field and kills all your corn, guess what I got to do? I've got to do it. So we see that what we feel natural, that, hey, you brought loss into my life. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have suffered this loss, and you ought to make it right. God agrees with that. So when we read that chapter where it says, turn the other cheek, is Jesus some other God than the Old Testament? No. You know, some people say that the God of the Old Testament can't be the same God because he's mean. He doesn't care, and he rains fire and brimstone and all that. No, well, it's the same God, but he's establishing that he is a just God and he is a righteous God and he will not put up with sin. And then what do we see in the New Testament more, in the New Covenant? That while he's a just and a righteous God, he is a God of mercy and a God of grace, and he wants to bring whosoever to him. He doesn't want to have to bring judgment. So no, it's not a different one. But as we look and we think about turning the other cheek, is Jesus saying that we've got to be a pacifist? That we're not to engage in conflict? That we're not to engage in war? That we're supposed to just let everybody walk over us? No. No, again, think about this. We have to keep it in context, right? As we look over in the book of Exodus, there were three different types of law being laid out right there. You had moral law. That which is true for every man, woman, boy, and girl. That which we'll answer to God for. But then they were also having religious law. You remember how they would take and wash their left ear and then their right foot and all that before they would go in and offer the sacrifices? That was ceremonial. It was an expression to God. And then there was something else, national law. They were making a nation back then. They just like any other, they had to have the guidelines and the boundaries for what made a safe and successful community. So when God says right here, when Jesus says, turn the other cheek, He's not talking to the government of the United States. He's not saying that. He's not talking to local law enforcement. No, He's talking about you and us, the members of the kingdom of heaven, right? That's what He's saying. I mean, think about David. David was a man after God's own heart, but he was a warrior king, wasn't he? And God told him, go kill that giant. I'm gonna help you. I'm going to guide that stone. And then what about Jesus in the temple? You remember? He went in there and He flipped up all them tables and it said that everybody left. Why do you think the money changers left? Because they thought He was going to tickle them to death? No. I'm getting it. This is deep in it this morning. It's caused you to think a little bit this morning. But why don't we think about this? Truth is, it's because we would rather take somebody's eye than give them our cheek. Right? And so we just pass over it. And that's what my burden was this week. Why do we pass over what we know, thus says the Lord, to deal with social issues that we've not been called to? Think about it. In the garden, Jesus, when they came to Him in Mark chapter 14, verse 47, and one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have you come to me at night as a thief with swords and staves to take me? And I've been with you every day in the temple teaching, and yet you took me not. But the Scriptures must be fulfilled, and they all forsook Him. He had men ready to fight for Him in that moment, but what did He do? Turn the other cheek. But yet, He also tells us in the book of Luke, it says, sell your cloak and buy you a sword. You ever read that Scripture? He says, sell your cloak and get you a knife. You know, I was raised that I'm no better than anybody else. But this is kind of the way I was raised. I'm not better than you, but by golly, you ain't better than me neither. And I'm not going to let you get the best of me. There's no way that you're going to be the winner. If you take from me, I may not win the fight, but neither will you in the long run, buddy. That's probably one of the most manliest, macho American ideas that we have. But is that biblical? I'm going to win. Nobody's going to get the better of me. Is that the attitude that we should have? Y'all might run me off because they stopped preaching. But it's the reality. Why aren't we seeing revival? What sins do we actually commit that we say are sinful anymore? Now, he says that you resist not those. The word resist there means, it's two words, anti and theismai. It means to stand against, to establish yourself against. He's saying, don't wage against them. If they hit you, give them the other one. Let them have the other side. Now, as we read this, we think, we can't relate. This is a thing I think we miss because of culture and context. If a man slaps me in my face, you don't have to tell me you're ready to fight. Because we know we're fighting, right? If you hit me in my face, and then if you hit me with your backhand, you telling me that I ain't even worth an open hand, much less a fist? Oh, son, you just not only run me down, but you ran my whole family down. Back to the gunner there. You just run us all down. And we're going to fight. You know why I do that? Because I've always been a free man. And I come from a free people. But the Jews were different. Right? At this moment, they were subjugated to Rome. That meant that they had Romans always walking in their city, right? And if a Roman soldier came up to you and said, Brother Jimmy, I want you to put down what you're doing. I want you to pick up that bag of rice and bring it with me. You didn't back talk. You didn't back sass. You did it. And if you didn't, I'd say that getting hit with a backhand was probably the best thing that you could get. Because they could kill you. They didn't have to worry about it. You see, we as Americans, we don't know that, do we? And so, listen, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 30. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let them be filled with insults. Did y'all know that was in there? Had y'all ever heard Lamentations chapter 3, verse 30? It is in direct alignment with what Jesus is teaching there in the Sermon on the Mount. And then Isaiah chapter 5, verse 3, not only do we see the idea of turning the other cheek, being taught, but we see it practiced in the Messiah. When Jesus was arrested, remember they whipped him, they punched him, they spit on him, they plucked his beard, they made him nude. And in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted. Listen, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to slaughter, and like a sheep that was before its shearers in silence, so he opened not his mouth. What did Jesus do? You see, what we see here is when it comes to the nation or the people around us, yes, we fight for them, just like Jesus came into this world to fight and win my salvation. But when it comes to us as individuals, we're not to claim our own rights. We're not ours, we're his. And so let's think about the picture here. The Roman soldier comes up to me. I don't pick up his bag of rice. What's he do? Well, if he's right-handed, he takes his right hand and pow, slaps me across the face. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have me kindly stunned a little bit there. What do I do then? I found this out, and I had never heard this before. But according to P.T. Penley, in the Mediterranean cultures of this day, a slap was a clear reference to a difference in class. If I slap you with my backhand, that's saying that I'm of a higher class than you are, and you're not even worth my fight. You get it? It's the same kind of what I was talking about earlier. And so one man said that Jesus turning the other cheek is a peaceful protest against social injustice. How in the world was that? Because think about this. The Roman soldier, he reaches back, he slaps me across my face. And in that moment, I'm dazed, I'm confused. He's just told me by the back of his hand that I am nothing but a bug. I'm not even up to his level. So I come around, and what do? Stick my jaw out a little bit further and just stand. Because what happens then? If he's going to hit me again, guess what? If he's right-handed, he ain't got the angle to hit me again if I give him the left, does it? Because see, when he hits me with his right hand, it connects to what? Yeah, my right side, right? But if he's coming again, what's he going to have to do? He's either going to have to slap me on that left side with an open hand, or if he's smart, he better come with a closed fist and hope that it does the business there. But what he's done in his own action has valued me and raised me up. Do you see what I'm saying? No longer can he just dismiss me with the back of his hand, but he has to recognize me with the palm of his hand. How awesome is that? I was like, yeah, you sing that song, let me tell you about my, yeah, that's my Jesus right there. Like Andy didn't tote no gun in Mayberry. Jesus just stood there, boy, because he's bigger than he is, right? Yeah, I can't wait for somebody to spit in my face or slap in my face because I'm going to show them the other side of my face and just let them do the same thing there. But then I got to thinking, but you know what? That puts me back at the center again. That makes it about me again. That he has to recognize me, my rights, my ways. You caused loss and you got to pay me back. That's not what Jesus did, is it? Everything he did was about me getting the benefit, him toting the burden. Why should it be our cheek instead of their tooth? Why should we suffer the loss? Why should we be willing to take the burden? Because that's what Jesus did for me. That's what Jesus has done for whosoever. He took everything, whatever it was that I deserved, he took it and he bore it so that I could receive the blessing and benefit of a relationship with him. You think, Brian, man, this is a weird sermon this morning. You know why? Because it's something that makes us uncomfortable. But isn't that what growth and faith is all about? Moving from a place of comfort, of security, of everything's good, I'm good, let's just go along to get along. You see, I told you a few weeks ago, God's been dealing with me. And some things that I have been taught that aren't bad things, they really don't have anything to do with the message that we need to be getting out there. It's just simple means that we've propped ourselves up and made ourselves feel better. When God says, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, that's all I care about. I don't care about opinion. In Thomas Village, if we're going to see revival, we can't care about the way other churches do it. We can't care about the way it's always been done. We want to know truly what does thus saith the Lord. And so today, there's a lot of stuff we don't know, right? But as our piano player comes, there's some stuff that we do know, and that's the most important stuff. And you know, sometimes I think we may have to judge. Is this one of those times I offer my jaw? Or is this one of those times that I need to kindly seek to be restored? If it's personal and spiritual, I think most of the time we're to take the lost. Or take the loss, to suffer the loss. But I want to ask you this today. There's a lot of things we don't know, but there are some things we do know. And here's the most important thing that we know about thus saith the Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? We know that. Thus saith the Lord. But God, in His love, was not willing to let us perish, but He sent His Son to die on a cross so that whosoever might be saved. Amen? Thus saith the Lord. Today it says this, if you're willing, if you'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thus saith the Lord. Amen? Is that our goal? Is that our purpose? Number one, do you know that you're saved today? Not based on being dunked in a bathtub or five times in the river or whatever. Do you know that Jesus Christ has entered your life and that you're not the person you were before that? If you don't know that today, I'd love to show you what the Bible says. Maybe today you have been saved, but you've got caught up in the rat race. You've got caught up in the culture and tradition. Do you need to just come back and say, Lord, I don't want all the frills. I don't want all the banners and the wrapping paper. I just want you. I just want a relationship with you. I want to know you. If you need to, you come on up and do that. Maybe today you need to join Thomas Village or whatever. But I pray that our heart's desire is to know, thus saith the Lord, and let that guide us in the rest of our lives, not only as a church, but specifically as an individual. Let's stand in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your Word. And I pray right now that You just do what You do through Your Spirit and through Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you come today? Tonight we're going to be continuing on, because what you're going to see is after He says, you know, resist not, give Him the jaw. Then He says, if somebody compels you to go a mile, what does He say do? 2 miles. That means if somebody enslaves you and wants to make you go a mile. Do you remember when Jesus was going to the cross or going to Calvary and couldn't carry His cross? What did they do? They compelled somebody to carry His cross. And so what we're going to see is the attitude of sacrifice. And we'll go through the rest of that. Anything else before we come, before we close? Sister, it is good to have you today. Thankful you come. Now, where you live at?
I live in Richmond.
Okie dokie. Well, come back when you can. Anyone else? Brother Keith, would you close us out in prayer?